from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working with students and families to improve college access and student success for a better West Virginia.
Good evening. I'm Andrea Lanham, and this is the Legislature Today. Tonight from the Capitol, an in-depth conversation with the Commissioner of Tourism as the governor proposes almost tripling her agency's budget. But first, an update on floor action. The Senate passed Senate Bill 385 today, which transfers money from Medicaid under the Department of Health and Human Resources to the Department of Corrections. Senator Mike Wolfel stood in opposition to this bill, speaking of his brother who is bipolar and receiving DHHR services.
Mr. President, as his legal guardian, I mean, this Medicaid funding that is a part of, that is being extracted from these, from Medicaid, from the agencies, to put a roof on some jail or whatever, I have a personal interest in opposing that. It's going to affect me, because if this affects real people. This Medicaid funding has a dire effect on real West Virginians. So I believe I have a conflict. And I don't believe I should be, I don't think I should be voting on this, because I have a direct interest in seeing that Medicaid funding continues and that our West Virginians are treated with respect. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit by here quietly and let one of these bills, we're going to put a roof on a jail and take away funding from my brother. Thank you.
I just want to rise in favor of the bill. I had very similar from the surface. You could certainly see where someone would think those appropriations may be taken from DHHR. However, the department has worked very vigorously to look for cost savings. I know they've eliminated several hundred positions, much of that through attrition. They basically have a set bill when they sit down with the governors, from what the department explained, to make sure all the services are funded, and those have been funded. So the match is only going to come back when we put money in to fund those programs. And so they have fully funded those programs, but through much of the effort on the part of the department, have some excess. And that excess, I believe, is what is being reappropriated, and nothing's being taken away from any services. Therefore, I would support the bill.
Further discussion? And across the way in the House, committee substitute for House Bill 4006, which eliminates the cabinet-level position of Secretary of Education and the Arts, passed after significant debate.
Under this proposed legislation, the Commission on the Arts, as well as the Commission on Archives and History, would continue to exist. And under the Department of Culture and History, five sections would continue under the Department of Culture and History. Arts, Archives, Historic Preservation, Museums, as well as the administrative activities of the division.
It's a two-headed bill. One relates to education, and the other one relates to completely reorganizing the executive branch in regard to arts. And the baby's going out with the wash, because arts is going out with the secretary. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, there is no advocate for the arts left whenever the secretary's gone. And we're told, as others have said, we're going to see some of the programs to be continued somewhere else. We're not sure where, but somewhere else, hopefully associated with where they've been. But who's going to be the advocate for the arts? Where is that? And do we want to be the body that eliminated the advocate for the arts? And if you have someone
in your district... The bill now goes over to the Senate for consideration. As we've covered this issue, we've noted that West Virginia Public Broadcasting is an agency under the Department of Education and the Arts. Joining us now is Commissioner of the West Virginia Division of Tourism, Chelsea Ruby. Commissioner, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into some specifics, let's talk a little bit about tourism's current budget and what's being proposed this year. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So our current advertising budget is about $6 million, and the governor has proposed adding an additional $14 million to bring us up to around $20 million.
Okay, so I know that you've gone in with some graphics and statistics and other visual aids presented to both the House and Senate committees of what you're going to do with this $20 million increase. Can you just tell me how that's gone so far?
Yeah, I mean, so far, I think it's gone really well. We've had both the House and the Senate finance budget hearings, and I think it's been pretty well received. You know, this money, we want people to look at this money as an investment. If you look at tourism advertising right now, we can show a demonstrated return on investment of 8-1. So last year we invested, last year our investments resulted in over $4 billion coming into the state of traveler-generated spending. Of that, people paid in $527 million in state and local taxes. So tourism is really more of an investment than an expenditure. We can show you that every time you invest, we're getting more money out.
Now, I know that you were challenged with the fact that other agencies have been cut and that we do have an opioid epidemic in the state. So in light of those things, how did you argue about the increase for your agency?
Yeah, there's really two things. The first thing is, if you look at how West Virginia is doing in tourism compared to the states around us, it's really clear that we're just being underfunded. West Virginia's traveler spending, meaning the money coming into our state from travelers, is at $4.1 billion last year. The next lowest state in our region is Kentucky at 9.2. Everyone else is 20 to 40 billion. So they are multiple times higher than we are. And that's simply because they're doing a better job of promoting themselves and they're making a stronger investment in tourism. Now, what I've told people on both committees when I've gone in is, I don't tell you those numbers to say, hey, look at us, we're 50th and something else. That's not the point. The point is, if you look at all this money coming into the region, we're in the heart of a heavily trafficked region. And if we increase our advertising budget and really invest in this program, we can capture some of that market share back. In past years, all the states around us have seen their numbers go up, except for us. So if we just invest, we know it'll work. My favorite tourism statistic is that 86% of people who come to West Virginia come back. It's an incredible number. It means that when people come here, they fall in love with the state and they keep coming back. The flip side of that's this. Last year, of our 16 million overnight visitors, only 14% were here for their first time. So we know that our problem isn't that there aren't things to do in West Virginia or that we're not a world-class tourism destination. Our problem is exposure. We're just not doing enough to get those first-time visitors.
Now, I know you've recently unveiled a new comprehensive plan for state tourism. Can you describe what the main components of that are?
Yeah, it's kind of complicated, and I don't want to bore everyone with my nerdy advertising knowledge, but there's three basic components. Number one is we've got to get increased exposure. I mean, it's no secret that West Virginia has an image problem, so we've really got to work to overcome that. The second thing is when people come to West Virginia, they don't stay long enough. When we look at the national average, when someone goes on vacation, typically they spend 4.5 nights in a state. In West Virginia, they only stay 2. So if we're really going to increase our numbers, we've got to, number one, increase exposure. Number two, increase the length of stay that people are staying in West Virginia. And number three, increase how much they're spending. When we compare how much folks are spending when they come to visit us with how much they're spending when they go to other states, we see that we're really low. So we've got to do a better job of upselling people who are here and also working on attracting a higher spending demographic. So that's really the plan at a really basic level, but it's exposure, increase the length of stay, and increase traveler spending.
I know too, when we had talked before, you talked about regional marketing as well. So like different activities, different things that you can see regionally. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that goes into kind of that second thing of increasing the length of stay. In West Virginia, our geography, quite frankly, it's our biggest asset. The mountains are beautiful, but it makes it hard to piece together vacations. So if you think about going to vacation in Myrtle Beach or New York City or Washington, D.C., you're probably going to be in one area and stay in that one area for a week or two. In West Virginia, what we're trying to do is we're trying to promote destinations. We're trying to promote regions where you can go and stay for 1 week or 2 weeks and even want to come back. So instead of, you know, the typical come here and do this thing, visit this attraction or this city or this county, what we're doing is we're working with our partners to really promote those regions, to say come here and stay for a whole week and then come back.
So when you talk about the length of stay in West Virginia being lower than other states, is geography to blame for that, or why is that happening?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, it's hard if you've got somebody who lives in D.C. and doesn't own a car, and they come to West Virginia, you know, they've rented a car, and you tell them, hey, you know, we want you to go 30 miles and do this thing. Well, 30 miles to somebody who doesn't even have a car sounds like a really long way. But in West Virginia, it's probably a beautiful 30-mile scenic drive. So we've just got to do a better job of piecing together these vacations. And I've got to give it to our partners and our local CVBs. They have done a great job of working together and really saying, how do we do this? What is this strategy? It's not something new. It's not something we're inventing here. It's something that's been done successfully in states across the country. Michigan was really one of the first states to do it. And I think we've all heard about Michigan's success with tourism. So,
now talk to me a little bit about how tourism improves the state's image. We all know that West Virginia may not have the best image to people outside the state.
Yeah, you know, there one really great thing about tourism advertising is that nearly every state in the country is funded by public funds. So what that means is every year, everyone's in the same position I'm in, where they go to the legislature and say, here's how our advertising dollars performed. And have to report on it. So states across the country study this every year, and there's been this interesting phenomenon that's come about in the last 3 or 4 years, and we refer to it as the halo effect. And what it is research that has shown that in every single state, the tourism advertising actually increases brand awareness for the whole state. So it overall improves people's perceptions of the state. So in West Virginia, we did a survey among people who had seen our advertising and people who hadn't seen our advertising. And what we found is that people who had been exposed to our advertising had better impressions of West Virginia as a place to live, a place to work, a place to go to school, a place to raise a family, a place to retire, a place to buy a retirement home. So all of these things, just general perceptions about the state, get better when you see tourism advertising. So, you know, like you said, we've got a bad image, both inside the state and outside of the state. And so we see this investment as not only an investment in bringing in additional revenue to bring travelers in, but also, quite frankly, an investment in the state's image.
And I guess you want to see West Virginians also visit more places within the state as well.
Yeah, absolutely, we do. We want West Virginians, again, to come in and visit other places to really understand what's in their own backyard. But we also want them to recognize what a great state we live in and to really improve those perceptions.
And along the lines of protecting the tourism industry, as you know, the House passed the bill today to eliminate the cabinet-level Secretary of Education and the Arts. And I know that the arts are a big pull to this state. What's your opinion on the loss of that cabinet-level advocate for the arts?
You know, I think it's important. Arts are an important part of our overall tourism strategy. We survey people every year to say, why are you coming to West Virginia? What is it you want to do? And what we found, and what's been found nationwide, is that there are trends that people don't just want to come and visit big attractions or big cities. They really want to get into these communities. They want to experience the local culture and the local life. So I think arts are an important part of that.
Now, the West Virginia Film Tax Credit was also eliminated, and the governor recently signed that. Mm-hmm. So where is that? Because you know that there were several art lawmakers who argued to keep those credits, and they had heard directly from filmmakers.
Yeah, so, you know, that audit, the Legislative Auditor's Office came out with an audit about a month ago on the film office, and they found two basic problems with the film office. Number one, they found that many of those credits were going to companies who weren't eligible. You probably heard in the testimony that a lot of these credits were being given to local productions for the West Virginia Lottery, even the Division of Tourism, the Housing Development Fund. That's not what this credit program was intended to do. The credit program was intended to, number one, improve the overall image of the state, going back to what we were talking about, and number two, to bring outside dollars into West Virginia. The second piece of the Legislative Auditor's report showed that much of the money that was going through this program, if it wasn't going to these local companies, it was going out of state. So 90% of that money was going to out-of-state companies. And when you really dig into the employment information, what we found is that a lot of it was going to out-of-state residents who were coming into West Virginia to work. Now, on the face of that, you might think this is a great thing because it's putting people in hotel rooms, they're going to spend some money, and they do that. But if you actually look into it, and I think the example that really sums it all up is, you know, there was a producer that came in on one of these films. That producer made $1.2 million, which is probably the going rate for a producer on a larger film. And the state gave a 31% tax credit on that $1.2 million. But if you think about that, that person was here for only a short period of time and likely did not contribute nearly as much to the state as we gave. So, you know, it came down to a matter of economics. You looked at the return on investment, that program was producing less than $1 million a year in revenue, and probably somewhere in the neighborhood of only about $50,000 a year in tax revenue. So it just came down to something, you know, it seemed odd for an agency head to come out and say this isn't working, but, you know, when we looked at the numbers and we looked at the past performance, it just really wasn't a program that looked like the best use of taxpayer dollars.
Do you have somebody in tourism actively pursuing film company work?
We do. So the film office was actually eliminated last year, and we have cross-trained some of our tourism folks because a lot of it's the same thing. You know, a company calls in and they say, where's the best location to do X? So we've got folks in our call centers who answer the calls from travelers to the 1-800-CALL-WVA number, and they take those calls. We'll continue to take those calls. This is not the end of film in West Virginia, but, you know, it is the end of the film tax credit.
Do you think it's going to become harder to attract films to the state without that credit?
You know, what the audit found is that over 50% of the films that we were getting were films that were actually here before the tax credit and will likely continue. Again, a lot of them were these local productions. We only ever recruited one major motion picture in the whole time period that the tax credit was around. So I think there will be some minimal impact, but, you know, I really don't think it's going to be as awful as some folks have said it will be.
Now, switching gears a little bit, can you tell us about some destinations or maybe some exciting places in West Virginia that people might not know about?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I got this job, I thought I knew a lot about West Virginia. I thought that I knew all the cool places to visit, but I have found so many great places since then that are just coming online or places that are new. And, you know, one new thing and one place I'll tell you about that's brand new, they just got their reservations up this week, is a place called Rustic Ravines. It's in Wayne County. It's an ATV cabin park. And they just opened this week. So, you know, there's new and exciting things going on all across the state. That one's just the newest one. Like I said, I think it opened just this week. But that's something I would tell people to check out. It's a different experience. They're working on a zip line. They've got a lot of different things there, and they've got a number of really great cabins.
Well, what's your favorite place to visit?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you my favorite place. My job is to promote all of them. You're not going to catch me picking a favorite.
Well, I know here recently with tourism, you guys got the rights to Country Roads. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. Country Roads is the state's anthem. I think everybody has been in a position where you've been out of state or out of the country and you tell somebody you're from West Virginia and they start singing Country Roads to you. You know, it's something that we're known for. And we decided that it was time to take advantage of that and to start using it in our marketing efforts. So we acquired the rights, limited usage rights to the song a couple months ago. We've just started using it in our advertising. We're going to be rolling out a new campaign in a month or so, and that will really embrace the Country Roads.
So no more Wild Wonderful?
No, we'll still use it. I mean, Wild and Wonderful will always be a part of our state and what we're known for. But we're looking at, you know, what is the best way to attract people and what are we really known for? And so I think you're going to see us start using both.
So last summer you went on social media mm-hmm. asking everyone to use the hashtag Almost Heaven. Can you tell me a little bit about the response that you got with that?
Yeah, the response on that was overwhelming. We knew that people loved West Virginia, and we knew they would be excited about it. But again, it surpassed every expectation we had. So the campaign asked people in West Virginia and people who maybe moved away but love West Virginia to, for the 2 weeks leading up to West Virginia's birthday, to post pictures of their favorite place in West Virginia and tell us why West Virginia is Almost Heaven. What do you love about West Virginia? And we were just overwhelmed by the number of people that did it. We had several hundred thousand people post pictures online, and collectively, we reached over 15 million people in those 2 weeks. We were trending on Twitter twice in that time period, meaning top 10 on the internet locally in that period. And if you think about that, you know, when was the last time the state of West Virginia was top 10 in anything on the internet, much less something positive? So that campaign really showed us, number one, how we can amplify the effectiveness of our paid media by using social media. But number two, it also showed us how much people love West Virginia and how we need to focus on making people ambassadors for their state.
So we talk about economic diversification a lot here at the legislature. Can you tell me what kind of economic development stems from tourism?
Yeah, so up until last year, the Division of Tourism was really just the marketing arm that did all the marketing, public relations, and advertising. But the legislature in Senate Bill 535 last year added some provisions for industry development, product development. So having us go out and figure out how do we get existing tourism businesses to grow and how do we recruit new ones to the state. So that's something we've really been working on in this last year. I mean, I mentioned this new cabin project in Wayne County, but there are a number of other things like that. But we're also really working with our existing companies to say, how can we help them? Like, what type of training do they need? And if it's something we can provide, starting to provide it. But we're also working with the community and technical colleges on some programs that might be able to be useful for some of these folks in the industry.
Now, I know a lot of people have criticized that, saying that tourism is typically lower paying jobs.
Yeah, you know, I hear that. And I did hear that in one of my committee meetings. But when you pull the numbers, it's really not that. People think, when they think tourism, a lot of time you think the frontline people who are working at restaurants, you know, waiters and wait staff, and that's some of it. But there are really a lot of higher paying jobs too. But I would tell you that these are some of the most important jobs in West Virginia, no matter what end of the pay scale they're on, because they are the people who are greeting people who are coming into this state. They are the first impression. They are, you know, what gives West Virginia its reputation. So I tell you, number one, I don't think they're as low paying as people think they are. And number two, even the ones that are low paying, they are so important to our overall image of the state.
Do you think tourism is getting the respect or maybe the importance that you think it deserves in the legislature?
Yeah, I really think it is. You know, we, all the way from the top down, you know, the governor talks about tourism all the time, and he talks about his vision for tourism and reasons we should make investments. But we've had a really great response from legislative leadership and members and people who are really starting to say, hey, this is important. You know, not only is an investment, but I think everyone has concerns about West Virginia's image. So I think, you know, this idea that tourism is going to help brand West Virginia and help with our overall image is really an important one.
So bringing out a little news of his own, Justice said that state tourism officials will soon unveil a new advertising slogan. Can you give us a little hint of what that could be, or
So we've done a lot of research trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way to position West Virginia? How do we take advantage of some of this market share and bring in some of these visitors from this heavily trafficked region? So you're going to see us spruce up photography. You're going to see us, you know, a whole new campaign, all new creative. You know, the hint I can give you is it's absolutely going to include some country roads.
So tell me a little bit about what bills that you're watching this session that deals with tourism.
You know, I've got to be honest. Our number one priority this session is really the funding increase, because without that, you know, it's going to be really hard for us to promote ourselves. Without that, there's a chance that we're going to continue moving down while all the other states around us grow their industry. You know, West Virginia's is going to continue to shrink. So that is absolutely our number one priority this year. We don't have any other agency bills. It's truly our focus.
So you just had a conference at the Greenbrier. Do you think that other officials are enthused about tourism?
Absolutely. We had a number of legislators there who were very enthusiastic about tourism and this funding proposal. And we had folks from all around the state. We had CVB directors from nearly every county, and we had folks from a lot of our major attractions. And I'll tell you, everyone left there really excited and enthused about the future of this industry.
Can you share your final thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just I think it's important for people to realize, you know, there's a lot of talk, no matter if it's about opioids or what it might be in the state, there's a lot of talk about negative perceptions of the state. You know, there are so many perceptions that are fueled by people who've never even set foot into the state. And I think it's really important now more than ever for the state to decide to take control of that image, to improve that image, and to really brand West Virginia for what it's worth. You know, to make our citizens believe in the state, but also to show the world that West Virginia really is a world-class tourism destination. You know, the governor has said a number of times, and I wholeheartedly agree with him, that there's absolutely no reason West Virginia can't be the Colorado of the East Coast. So that's what we're looking to do.
Commissioner of Tourism Chelsea Ruby, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And this concludes our program tonight. Please join us tomorrow evening for a spotlight on the West Virginia Community and Technical College System. Chancellor Sarah Tucker will join us to discuss the potential impact of Senate Bill 284, which would establish a grant program for students attending these colleges. That's tomorrow night at 6 on the Legislature Today. I'm Andrea Lanham for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for watching and have a great evening.